Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, happy Monday, everybody, and thank you so much for tuning in to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill. A reminder that you can now find us on iTunes and listen at your leisure. Just look for Get Yourself the Job on iTunes. Today, we have a very special guest, a dear friend of mine who has been one of my personal friends, associates, one of my main spiritual advisors, quite honestly, for the last, I can't even remember now, Shannon. How many years have we known each other? 10 years?
No, it seems like it's been about 10 years, but time just flies when you're having a good time.
Exactly. So today we have a friend of mine who has been one of my dear advisors and who I'm fortunate enough to get to collaborate with on a book currently. Her name is Shannon Leishner. She is a world-renowned psychic medium and theta healer, you're going to help me say that correctly going forward, Shannon, and instructor, who was born with a powerful inherited abilities from generations of truly gifted family members. For over 20 years, she's been changing lives through life path coaching, angelic communications, mediumship, energy work, and has been able to help people from all over the world help find their divine purpose, which is part of the reason we have her on the show today. Shannon has the extraordinary ability to communicate, interact with, and cross over different spiritual beings. Now, I have to be honest with you guys, because I know some of my listeners out there might be going like, really? But I'm going to have Shannon share a couple of things. And she's, given me some insights, as well as some of my business associates that have more than, you know, come true. And I know some of the work, even Shannon, that your dad or your grandpa did with a major corporation. What was that?
My grandfather.
So we'll talk a little bit about that, because for any of you out there who might be going, oh, well, you know, what does this actually mean? I will tell you that Shannon has been one of my closest and dearest spiritual advisors for as long as I've known her and has helped me navigate some very tricky personal and professional situations. In addition to her metaphysical training, she also has her MPA in public administration. And so what she does is she not only helps people heal themselves, she also gives people access and tools and resources to overcome huge obstacles in their life that might otherwise incapacitate them when it comes to living a life that's fully self-expressed, and especially with respect to your career, living your divine life purpose, which is something that we all want to have our lives be about. So Shannon, thank you so much and welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me. It's such an honor. I'm glad that we're on the air together.
I know. This is so much fun. Every time I get to talk to Shannon or be in her presence, it's just light-filled. I remember one of the first times that you and I had started working together, we had met, I think it was at Jenny McCarthy's Masquerade Ball many years ago, and we had instantly connected, and you have generously donated your time over the years to a couple of charity events I've thrown, and I'll never forget one of the people who was at the first charity event you were at tried to take pictures of you, and there was so much bright light in all of the pictures that almost none of them came out. Do you remember that?
I do remember that. I actually have some of the files, and it's just wonderful. It was probably, you know, when you're in your element and when you're doing what makes you happy, you know how they say you glow? Well, sometimes
that's true.
Literally, right? You glow.
Yeah, you actually do literally glow. And I think that was the thing, is when you and I first connected, I was not necessarily the most spiritual person at the time. I think I was kind of, you know, maybe like circling it and maybe considering it, but I didn't necessarily consider myself a spiritual individual. And through, thank goodness, your guidance and some of the things that you've helped me with, both personally and professionally, I feel like you've helped me grow spiritually. And quite honestly, I know this is something that you and I are going to talk about, and with our book, is bringing spirituality to business. It's such a taboo thing that people don't want to talk about. And I remember I used to be embarrassed to even talk about anything spiritual related with my clients. And now most of my clients, the ones who I have the best and deepest relationships with, we are regularly having these amazing conversations about love, light, and spirituality, and how that can go hand in hand with business.
You know, I think the problem is that a lot of people hear spirituality and they think, oh, this is another religion.
Yes.
And, oh, you know, I'm going to be preached at. But really what it is honoring yourself. and honoring yourself so much that you can share your light and your love and your passions in the world, on your path, and with other people. That's what spirituality is about. It's not about, oh, I have to go to church every day, or I have to be in a religion. No, you have to honor yourself and the others around you and find your path of happiness. That's what spirituality is to me.
Oh, I think that's brilliant. I think that's a wonderful way to describe it, is to find your truth. It doesn't mean that your truth has to be the same as anybody else's truth. You could have your own divine truth and have it guide you, and it doesn't have to line up with any sort of dogma or spirituality out there. It could be your own version of it. And that's what I think has had you and I connect so much. And so today, what I really wanted to bring Shannon on the show to talk about is a conversation, exploring spirituality in business, and a lot of why some people get stuck energetically in the wrong career, the wrong relationship, the wrong sort of business box. And there was something wonderful that I remember you mentioned to me, I think it was a week or two ago, called the fear box, that I definitely want to touch on, and how we can mix and meld the metaphysical and the business world. And what that means for you out there is, what if it were possible for you to go to work every day and get the same sort of fulfillment at work that you get at home, and to kind of generate that sense of happiness that Shannon was just talking about by looking internally rather than externally? So Shannon, tell me a little bit about kind of how you discovered your abilities. And if you could, share with our listeners a little bit about your grandpa, because I remember that was an interesting story that for me, when I was very skeptical and cynical, you know, perhaps even when we had first met, I thought, wow, that's really interesting that a corporation would hire somebody who has intuitive or energetic abilities to help them on the business side. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Oh, yes. My grandfather was probably one of the most talented people I'd ever met. Psychically, business-wise, I mean, he was just on it. And he was really good with something called dowsing, which is essentially you're using your energy and something called a divination rod, or some object to find anything that you need to find. And I was a little skeptical about that, too. But
good, I'm glad I wasn't the only one.
Okay, you have a stick that's going to help you find something. But my grandfather was hired by a major oil company to find oil.
What?
And he would use a map, and then he would go on site, and he would, with high accuracy, find places for them to drill.
Wow.
And he was one of the most revered and respected people in his field. And not only that, but my great-grandmother was also a world-renowned psychic, and she had people coming to see her. Like, they were, I mean, line up to come and see her. And she wasn't one of those sit on the corner of psychics. But the thing that amazes me is that, you know, everybody has these abilities. It's how you use them, and it's how you shape them. And so my grandfather was, you know, he actually was the first one in my family to bring business with his abilities. And he was very well respected and very good at what he did. I used to think he bugged our house, because we would have a conversation about him, and he would call and join in the conversation.
What?
And the most memorable one was, he used to like to wear this pink shirt. And I used to always, like, laugh about this pink shirt. So one day my mother and I at the house were talking about his pink shirt, and he calls and, without skipping the beat, says, "It's not pink, it's purple." And so I was thinking, God, is he bugging our house? But no, he's very good at energy and telepathy. And so he would use that in any time he needed to. And so very, very, very skilled individual.
So that's interesting, because that to me gave a little bit of credibility. It's like, okay, we're not just dealing with the metaphysical, we're dealing with something in the physical world. And so I'd love to know a little bit about kind of how you started to figure out your own gifts and how you've used them in the business world, and what you've done to kind of develop those, because I know you're now very heavily involved in theta healing. You're rated as one of the top 10 most trusted spiritual advisors and psychics in the world. So can you tell us a little bit about your path and how you came to get into this field that you're in?
Well, you know, I actually was born with abilities. I was born being able to see spirits, and being able, I just knew things. And then I had a really scary childhood where I literally lived in a place that was like Amityville Horror.
Oh my gosh.
And I mean, it was anything that happened on the movie Paranormal Activity happened in my house. with the exception, we made it out alive.
Wow.
My stepfather went completely insane and tried to kill us because of the spirits. So it was a very scary place to live. I mean, you couldn't sit in the house without something flying across the room and hitting you. And I mean, the loud pops and the I mean, just crazy things happened in this house. So after that, my mother said, "No more metaphysics. We're not, you know, your spirits that you see are evil. They're out to hurt you. So we're not going to talk about it anymore. We're going to be a, quote, normal family."
Mm.
And, but I wasn't normal. I mean, or maybe I was normal and everybody else was abnormal, but I still saw the spirits. She may have forbade me from talking about it, but I still was able to see them. And I was terrified. I mean, in the middle of the night, I would walk down the hallway to go to the bathroom and they would pop up in my face.
Wow.
And so I grew up being terrified of spirits. And I was having increasing need and a want and a desire to learn about this so I could learn how to defend myself, because I felt like I was a lamb with a big bullseye waiting to be attacked again. And so I kept asking my mother and she kept saying no. And so then I decided, well, then if I can't, you know, find out about, you know, what I'm able to do, then I'm going to be a businesswoman.
And so, so I got my
master's degree. Yeah, I said, hey, let me just go ahead and do that route. So I got my master's degree. I started a nonprofit. I worked for a university for over 10 years. I did a business consulting. I did a lot of.
I bet you were damn good at business consulting. You might not have even, well, I bet you did know at some subconscious level why you were so good at it, but you could probably negotiate better than most because you could read their minds.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was something I was very good at. I could take a failing business and make them thrive. And I just looked at their business model and I could tell them where the weak points were. And then I would talk to the people, which, hey, if you want to have a good business, you need to talk to your employees.
And get in their world.
They're the ones that run the business for you.
Yep.
And so anyway, so as time went on, I was diagnosed with a very serious heart condition and given a year to live.
Oh, my gosh. I don't even think I knew that in all the years that we've known each other. That's crazy.
Yeah, it was pretty freaky. I was really depressed. I wasn't on my path. I mean, although I was successful, it wasn't me. I wanted to help people, and I didn't feel like I was helping them enough.
Mm.
And so when I was given a year to live, a friend of mine who is psychic called me, and she said, "We need to meet." And I hadn't spoken to her in 5 years. And so when I met with her, she asked me, "So when are you dying?"
What?
And I said, "Well, you know, I've been given a year to live." And she goes, "I know." And she said, "So are you going to come back and do this life all over again?"
Huh.
And I said, "Oh, no, I'm done with this life. Like, I am just so done." And she said, "You know, if you die now and you haven't lived your path, you're going to have to come back and do this all over again."
Oh, my goodness.
I said, "Oh, no." I said, "No, tell me what I need to do, because I have a year. I'm going to dedicate my
life
for this
it takes.
Year to make it happen." And she said, you've been wanting to do it all your life. Just do it." And she took me on because she had a publicity company. So she took me on as a publicist. She was my publicist. And she had, I mean, within 8 months, I was on TV, on the radio. I had celebrity clients. I mean, my business was booming. And within that 8 months, my heart condition went away completely.
I was
completely cured.
Just got chills.
Of my heart condition.
That's incredible.
And it was all about following my path. So I have dedicated my life ever since to helping people find their happiness. It isn't about the psychic. It isn't about the metaphysics. It is about people finding their happiness and getting rid of all of the luggage and the junk that we drag with us to each and every relationship, to each and every career. And that is why business and metaphysics works together.
I agree so much. I remember there was a great book I read on a plane lately called Dying to Be Me by Chance. Have you read that one?
I have not. I'll have to write that in my list.
I highly recommend it to any of our listeners and to you as well. It's a book about this woman who is like culturally, she's, I think, from an Indian family and grows up as an expat in Hong Kong, and how she is just not living her life path. And similar sort of story. This is a real factual story. She actually gets horrible cancer, like stage four, riddles her body. She tries to do all the quote unquote right things. She goes to an ashram and she goes and meditates and she tries to heal herself, but yet she's not on her life path. So it gets to the point where she goes into the hospital, into a coma. She's, you know, covered in lesions in her whole body. And then her husband and the doctor come in and they say, well, we're sorry, your wife's dead. She has less than 24 hours to live. And it was during that period. And for any of you naysayers out there, or people who think that this isn't possible, it's a very interesting book because it's all scientifically proven. What happened to her is that she had a choice. She was in the in-between world. I'm not sure what you would call that. And she could hear every conversation that was happening, even conversations that were happening hundreds of feet or miles away from her. And she was given the option. Yes, you can come back and live this same life, you can come back and repeat the life like what you just said and die now, or you can choose to come back and live your path this time. And it's a beautiful story because she then chooses to go back into her body, and within 3 weeks, she's completely healed, not a trace of cancer, doesn't need any other radiation, and it all comes down to choice and I think living your life path, which is such an incredible thing. Was it hard for you when you had to make that choice to then shift your entire world to be your true self, or was it something that came easy to you?
You know, what's so funny about that is that when you choose your right path, the doors fly open. And this is something that I've learned is when you can swim upstream as much as you want, but as long as you're swimming upstream, nothing's happening. But as soon as you turn around and you start going with the flow and with what you're supposed to be doing, everything becomes a lot easier. Now, I'm not going to say my life is perfect, and I'm not going to say that I have, you know, all the answers, but I definitely know how to go with the flow of the universe instead of against it now.
Yeah.
And it does become easier.
You're right, because it was fascinating last week. Is for me, I consider myself too to be very fortunate that I feel like I'm on my path. I love what I do. I get to contribute and help people, and I love going to work every day, and I love doing this show. And what was interesting last week was last Tuesday, I wanted to punch somebody for no very good reason. And so I think it was like the universe's little sick sense of humor and joke of like, you have to have compassion for people who aren't where you're at, because apparently last week's energy, I have a lot of spiritual people that who I work with in addition to you, who were telling me the energy of last week was all about chaos and confusion in the world. And it was so fascinating because no matter who I spoke with last week, there was just a lot of upset, a lot of confusion, a lot of anger, bitterness, resentment, and judgment. And the minute that you can realize that's not who you are, and then for me, that was it. I went from being like, oh my gosh, I don't even feel like I'm myself. And then I talked to one of my spiritual people and she said, oh, it's because of da 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 da. That's the energy of this week. The moment you're able to bring consciousness and awareness to that's not who I am, and I have a choice to be different, kind of like with your life path, then it gives you full freedom, and then all of a sudden everything starts to flow naturally again. Would you say that's fair, Shannon?
Yeah, you know, it always does depend on the time, but I tell my clients all the time, when you are getting ready to react to somebody, before you react, ask yourself, am I reacting out of ego? Or am I reacting because this is something that I really, truly need to address? Mm. When you ask that question, you really can, first of all, you take a deep breath, right? And you think about the bigger picture. And then second of all, you know, if you're really thinking about, you know, is this out of ego or is this necessary, then there becomes a true decision-making pattern instead of just a reaction.
Yeah, that's great. I think that's really brilliant. What you just said is really not taking things personally. And I think that there was a substitute speaker for Michael Beckwith at Agape a week or two ago who said there were three Sufi gates that you have to pass. Anything you say through is something to the effect of, is it true? Does it need to be said? And does it need to be said by me or some variation of that? And I think that ties directly into what you said. Is it my ego that is controlling me right now, or is it my spirit? And that's an important question to ask ourselves, no matter what sort of personal or professional conflict we're faced with, is to really pause and have choice in the matter of it.
I agree with you. And, you know, the one thing, too, is if, you know, we're never going to eliminate ego 100% because it's a very ego-driven society.
Yes, right.
But if you can work on yourself and even reduce your ego by 50%, your life would be so much easier because people can yell at you, they can scream at you, they can do all the things that they do. But when you are not an ego, it doesn't bother you as much. Yeah. You just say, oh, this is their issue. This is what they're going through. I'm going to respect the fact that this is what they're going through. And then you don't become a doormat. You back up. You back up and you protect yourself and you just allow for them to have whatever it fit they're having. But you guard yourself because it is also important for us to take care of ourselves and not be a doormat for other people.
Yeah, I think that's really important. There was a book that I just reread called The Four Agreements, and he talks about not taking anything personally, whether it's somebody saying, Shannon, you're the most talented, amazing psychic I've ever met, or Shannon, you're a piece of crap and I hate you. Either one has zero to do with you and is a reflection of the other person's internal state and not yours. And if you can detach yourself from it, like you just said, then it'll give you freedom and power. And I think one of the other super helpful things, actually two things that you told me that really changed my life from a business standpoint is one, if you're engaging with somebody who is coming at you with quote unquote negative energy, dark energy, whatever you prefer to call it, is that you kind of visualize a bubble of white light. Was that something you had told me years ago, I think?
Yes. Yeah. And the mirrors.
Yeah, I love that. And the other thing I think that you told me that I still remember is that if you've had a really bad day or if you feel like you just have a lot of, you know, crap that has clung to you throughout the day, that when you're showering, you can just visualize that energy, that dark energy or that negativity that surrounded you all day, just kind of falling off you down the drain. And it's just such a wonderful visualization technique that I still use. And I'm so grateful that you taught me that.
Well, and the sun, too. I mean, we live in California, which is wonderful. I mean, you close your eyes and you look up at the sun and you just imagine all that heaviness washing away. I mean, it has cured people of illnesses just by doing that. So
that's a great idea,
too.
So I know you've given some amazing tips already just in this conversation that we've been having, but if you were confronted with somebody who is stuck energetically in their career, if you can tell that they're not on their life path, what would either you do as their spiritual advisor or what would you suggest that somebody out there could do for themselves to begin to right themselves and get on the right path?
Well, there's a couple things. I would look at their limiting beliefs because we all are taught these limiting beliefs. Whereas, you know, when we're children, we're taught money doesn't grow on trees, money is limited. They're, you know, very, very, you know, it's all about lack, right? And if someone is in the energy of lack, there's energy coming through. Anyway, so if somebody's in the energy of lack, then they're going to stay in there until they move out of that energy. So if someone is in the energy of lack, they're going to stay in a job that they hate. They're going to hold on to it, and then they're going to be very reactive and hate and you know, be more resentful of the job that they have to do. So that's what I look at is where are their limiting beliefs, first of all? And second of all, what is it that they want to do? I ask everybody that. I say, if you could do anything, what would it be? Now, some people, you know, they say, well, I want to be a professional dancer, but they have bad knees. Okay? Well, then what can you do around that? You know, what can you do in that profession that would allow you to be around that energy? Because I'll tell you, every single person that has a life path here, doesn't matter what your disability is, doesn't matter what your beliefs are, you can always shift and go into what it is that you love. Because when you do what you love, life flows. And it makes it so much easier.
Yeah, you just made me think of an example, and it's so funny because it all comes down to perspective. I think it was 1 or 2 years ago, there's a great show on television called So You Think You Can Dance, and shout out to Nigel Lithgow. We go to their charity party every year called Dizzy Feet, and what I love about the Dizzy Feet Foundation Gala, which this year I think is September 10th, is that they showcase dancers of all types, including handicapped dancers and young children and any sort of dancer you could imagine, in kind of like the Academy Awards, but for dance. And I'll never forget, I think it was last year or the year before, there was a gentleman who had no legs and was one of the most incredible dancers you had ever seen. And like you said, somebody could have easily told that guy, oh, you'll never dance. Oh, you have no legs. It's impossible. You'll never get to dance, because one would make an assumption, wrongly so, that you would need legs to dance. And yet I remember there just being a standing ovation and being riveted by this incredible dancer who he overcame a handicap. And you hear these stories all the time. Is sometimes I truly feel, and I know you and I have talked about this this too before, that sometimes we choose obstacles in this life so that we can overcome them. Is sometimes we think, oh, I have this rock in front of me, so I'm just going to sit here and cry about this rock in front of me. But we don't think about, you could drill a hole through the rock, you could walk over the rock, you could go around the rock, you could pick up the rock, you could carve the rock into something else, into a bridge. You know, it's all about perspective and how you see it. And so I love what you brought up about the limited beliefs, because I think that's so on point.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I call them speed bumps in the road. So if you've got a speed bump, you have many, many options. You can look at it and go, oh, crap, I'm not getting over this thing.
Yeah.
You can sit and stare at it, or you can turn around and go back the other way. Or, like I always say, you can put the pedal to the metal and just keep going forward, you know, no matter what. And, you know, I'm glad that you bring this point up, because I have a new program. It's called the Awaken Program. And in one of the aspects of the Awaken Program is to look at every single traumatic event or bad relationship or bad work environment and look at that and say, what was the lesson that I learned here?
So,
because everything we have in our path, everything that happens to us, whether it be bad or good, is a learning lesson.
It's so on point. You're absolutely right. It's just looking at it like, what can I learn from this? And for example, last week in the situation I gave where I felt like I was a raving lunatic, it was really interesting because I was able to look back and go, okay, wait a second. This isn't happening to me. I'm choosing this exact set of obstacles so that there's some sort of lesson that I can learn to grow myself as a human being. And when you let go of it, the minute I stopped resisting it and I surrendered into it and went, okay, universe, what's this lesson you want me to learn, it disappeared. It was beautiful.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Once you learn the lesson, it goes away.
Yeah.
And then it moves you on to something else.
Exactly. And then you can move through it. And I know, tell us a little bit about the fear box. That's such an interesting concept. I'd love to know more about.
Oh, I liken fear to a three-sided box. A lot of us will look at, you know, almost like a cell. Say you have a jail cell, but in the back of the jail cell, it's wide open. But a lot of times we're holding on to those bars, looking outside, saying we are stuck. But if all we did was stop and looked at each side of the walls and turned around, we would notice that we're right outside of it. Because fear, to me, is a limiting belief. Fear is something that holds us back. And yes, there is danger, and that is something totally different. And I have to say, shout out to Will Smith for the wonderful billboards that he put out saying, you know, fear is an illusion, but danger is real.
Yes.
Because it is absolutely true that, you know, we always envision fear as us being stuck somewhere. But all we need to do is look at a different perspective and look at a way around it or through it or however we're going to get to it. And once you're on the other side, fear no longer controls you.
Yeah, I
have a good example.
Oh, yes, please share.
Like I said, I was scared of ghosts for a very long time. Imagine a medium being scared of ghosts.
That's pretty
But
funny.
Anyway, so I was scared of ghosts, and I decided I was going to make a list of my fears, and I was going to face each one of them. Someone offered for me to go to a 3 a.m. ghost hunt in the Queen Mary.
Oh, geez. I am not interested. Thank you.
So I took my son with me, and he's probably going to get mad at me for saying this, but it was just really funny. So I took my son with me, and we sat in the green room, which is the boiler room, where there is a ghost there that is known to attack people. It has happened, and it is documented. And so I'm sitting there with a group of people, in probably five people, and it's pitch black, and I'm terrified.
I'm shaking
and
just thinking about it.
Ooh. Yeah, and my son is sitting on the other side of me, and I am leaning up against a guy I don't know because I need to touch somebody, right? And I feel this hand go across my face, and I feel like I'm being caressed. And then it gets hot and cold, and we're sitting there for about a half an hour, and I'm just terrified. I'm like, okay, how much longer do we have to sit in the dark? And out of nowhere, and I'm sorry my son is going to kill me, but out of nowhere, my son farts.
Oh, no.
And when he did that, the entire room started laughing. And I will tell you, at that very moment, I can sit in a dark room now and not be scared at all.
Aww.
Because my fear just went away.
Yeah, because you could laugh about it and bring perspective to it, that here's your son sitting across from you, and in reality, a fart happened, and you're not going to die.
Yeah, and you know, after that, I mean, no one was scared of sitting there waiting for this ghost to attack. You know, I mean, it was nothing at that point. And so my thing is, face your fears. Whatever it is you're scared of, do it. And you'll find out that it wasn't as bad as you thought it was. And then it won't rule you anymore.
Yeah.
That's... And if we're not controlled by fear anymore, think of the possibilities and how many opportunities come to us. Yeah. Can I mention one more thing?
Oh,
I know
of course.
I'm on a soapbox right now.
Yeah,
but
no, I love it. Keep going, please.
I don't watch TV, right? No, I watch Netflix every once in a while because I like the cooking shows. But I don't watch TV, and I don't watch the news, because as much as I love the U.S., I hate the fear-mongering. And all of the news and all of the programs and all of that are all designed to make us fearful. And I am so against all of this fear-mongering. And so if you could just turn off the TV and go do something else,
yes,
you would find that your fear level would start to go down as well.
I agree with you 100%. That's so true. I don't watch TV. The only time I ever watch TV is if I'm rewatching an episode that I was on. And what's interesting, actually, I'm glad you brought this up, I noticed when I first started doing television and radio appearances, I was discriminated against by certain stations, because when I started appearing on TV in 2009, what they wanted was fear-mongering, just like you're talking about. Oh my gosh, it's the end of the world and nobody's ever going to work again. And that's what they wanted me to get on TV and say. And yet, as you and I both know, that's not in line with who I am as a human being. What I'm in line with is, no, it's what we say, it's how we speak. If you say it's hard, you're absolutely going to be right that it's hard and you're not going to find a job. But if you say it's easy and effortless and you put yourself out there and you take action, you will absolutely find the job of your dreams, which went in the face of a lot of big media stations that wanted to interview me.
Yes. I've actually been turned down for a couple shows because of the same thing, because I won't do drama and I won't do fear mongering. Yeah. I want to educate people on the good sides. And yes, there's bad and good in everything. But if we focus on the bad, of course, like you said, we're going to draw the bad. But if we focus on education and really getting the word out there on showing people how to really change their lives in a positive way, to me, that is a million times more valuable than scaring the pants off of them and making them hide in their bed.
Yeah, I agree. We turned down my company when I first opened. We had an opportunity with one of the biggest networks out there and TV stations to do a recruiting show on reality TV. And the minute they said, well, we want you guys to hate each other and to scream and be a jerk to the job seekers, that I was like, well, nope, sorry. We can't sign that contract. That doesn't interest us. And I think it's important, though, to realize that you can accomplish so much more with love and kindness and compassion for yourself and for everybody else in the professional or the personal world, for that matter, and just to approach it from a place of love than a place of hate, a place of tyranny, a place of fear. I think it is important what you're saying, because we create our world. And some people say, okay, well, great, you're going to be all airy-fairy and talk about positive love and good things. What's that going to do? Well, they've done statistics where if people meditate all at the same time around the world on love, on consciousness, on, you know, health and well-being, that can shift the state of the world and heal people and themselves. I mean, it's pretty remarkable what we can do as individuals when we bring our consciousness together.
Yeah, there's, I can't remember the name of it, but there is a, the government does this measurement of, I don't know if it's the frequency or something that is emitted.
Yes.
But if there is a major event, right before that, the emission of the frequency is super high. And it stays high until something goes down, until, you know, it starts to calm down, and then it starts to go back down again. And I would almost bet you, and I could almost guess that when people do these world meditations, I bet you anything that frequency starts to go higher as well.
Yeah. And so it starts with one person. And here's the really interesting thing about being in a workplace as well. One person's frequency can shift an entire workplace. And I see this all the time on the management side of things. Is you get a partner or you get a director or a manager or a VP who's the head of a company, that person, their energy can shift a company for the better or for the worse, depending on their mental attitude, or even in a, you know, even if you're not a manager, you could go into work and you could be in a position that maybe you're working in the mailroom and you think you have no impact whatsoever. But if you're kind and gracious, if you say hello, if you smile to every person when you drop their mail off, you can individually shift the consciousness and shift the energy of the entire company. And all it takes is that one smile, that one act of kindness towards somebody who you work with that can shift your environment. And so rather than being a victim of your environment and going, oh, I hate my culture at my company. Oh, I hate it. It's a horrible place to work. If you can start to look for the good in your company and look for the good in your peers and your managers, you'll be shocked and amazed at how your environment will actually begin to shift around you to be more in line with what you want.
Exactly. And to add to that, you know, it's not really even about metaphysics, and it's not even about the woo-hoo love everybody. It's about, think about this. If there is a company where the employees are happy and the employees are working and the employees are just, you know, doing great and the productivity is at an all-time high, and they bring in a manager who is negative, who is mean, who is everything else, that whole environment will change.
Yes.
Every single person in that environment will change because you've just brought in all of the negativity, all the heaviness, right? But if they continue to be productive, they continue to be happy, and they continue to push past it, even though this person is negative, they would find that the person would change.
Interesting. So you're saying if the energy of the group was so strong that even if with a bad manager, you could shift that person's energy depending on how you interacted with them.
And if they didn't shift, they couldn't stand it anyway and they would leave.
Yeah, that's true. It is true. And some people just can't stand to be in that space. I know a lot of people gave me a hard time when I first came into the business world because I was so positive and I was just so like, hey, this is amazing. Let's have this work. And some people who I thought wouldn't even like me when I first met them, I was like, oh my gosh, this person, you know, isn't on the same wavelength as me, have now become really good friends of mine. And I'm so grateful that, you know, you never know who you can have an impact on. And it's all just out of shifting your consciousness. And I think language, that's one of the things that you and I have talked about. Shannon and I are currently working on a book called Metaphysics about combining the metaphysical and the business world. And we've had some wonderful discussions. And one of the whole chapters on the book is about language and how the language we use is a direct reflection of our world that we create. So like we were saying earlier, if you say it's hard, you'll be right. If you say I can't, you'll be right. If you say it's easy, I can, etc. It's kind of similar to the podcast that Joey and I did on, I think it was June 13th, about future talking. It all comes down to language. What have you seen, Shannon, on your side of the metaphysical with language and how that correlates to somebody's happiness or lack thereof?
Well, I call them hamster wheel words, right? So if you say I can't, you stay in that energy of can't. If you say I don't have, a lot of people say this, I don't have enough money, I don't have this, I don't have this, I can't afford. When you're saying that, you're actually staying on the hamster wheel of lack. And so you'll constantly be in lack. So people say, okay, well, then I'll use the word I'll try. Well, as a parent, if you tell a child, go clean your room, and they say, I'll try, you know that that room is not getting clean.
Yeah.
And so try to me is one of those words that you say when you don't really want to do something, but you want someone to back off. And so I really attempt not to use the word try. Now, the other thing is that a lot of people will say, I want, I wish, I hope, I could, I should. All of those things are still in the hamster wheel because it's always wanting, hoping, wishing. But when you move out of those words and you move into the I am and the I am present and the actual and the energy of now, everything shifts, everything changes. And so, for instance, the money thing, I stay away from I can't afford. And what I say, if there's something I want to buy, and let's say right at the moment I don't have money, I will say, at this very moment, I choose not to buy that. But I am going to buy, or I am going to buy as soon as I want to or as soon as I feel the need to, then it shifts the energy. And I always have this saying where I say my river of money flows, where all my needs, desires, and goals are met with abundance. I think that came from, can't think of his name right now, but it came from one of the big speakers, and I actually added to it. But it's so powerful. And so now my kids, when they ask for something, they know I won't say I can't afford it or I don't have it. So they always say, well, Mom, your river of money flows.
And then, they use it against
you. And
then
you. I have to use the I choose not to.
Yeah, exactly. Our language is, it can be used to destroy or to create things. And I agree with you 100%. It's so important. I love, there were a couple of affirmations I say every morning right after I meditate, which is, I give thanks that all of my financial needs are met and that money flows to me with ease and effortlessly from known and unknown sources. And it's really true. And the moment that you let doubt creep in, that's where we start to get ourselves in trouble. We doubt that, oh, I'm not on the right path. Oh, we doubt that there isn't enough money. It goes back to how the conversation started around scarcity. If you come from a mentality of scarcity of not enough anything, time, money, resources, love, you will come from a place that will be reflected in your world as lack, limitation, and often depression, quite honestly, a lot of dark energy there.
Yes, and you know, I'm actually working on several books, but one of the books that I'm working on, I am rewriting or reformulating Maslow's hierarchy of needs. I don't know if you know what that is, but and so I'm doing it in a spiritual sense because
I love it.
A lot of us, yeah, I say, you know, the bottom half of the triangle is about survival. And in a spiritual sense, if we stay in the mode of survival, we're drowning. Because if we're just surviving, we're drowning in the energy. And if you are, you know, let's say that you're moving up and you're working on yourself, and but you're still in the lower level of survival, there's no way that you can help anybody else. Because if someone else is drowning, you can't jump in after them to save them because you're drowning as well. And so for me, I'm redoing the Maslow's hierarchy of needs and to say that when we're using this energy and these lower level emotions, it's very difficult for us to be in the I am. And so the Awaken program that I have actually helps to move you out of the lower level emotions and get you right into the I am.
Yeah, I think that's so brilliant. You're right, because when you are in survival, it's like I just got off a plane yesterday, and they always say, you know, put the emergency mask on yourself first before you put it on somebody else. It's true, because you can't, I'm not going to say you can't, let me reframe that. People will have an uphill battle if they're coming from a place of survival. If your needs aren't met, if you're starving, if you don't have shelter, yes, I could see why it would be a little bit more of an uphill battle for somebody who is in that position to have a conversation for all of their needs being met or for creating something or helping someone if they can't even physically provide for themselves, let alone their families or whatever else they're going through. So it's a very interesting case in empathy too, is just to have empathy. Even like last week when I was going through that space, I forget sometimes what it's like to be in a space of anger or of resentment or frustration. And so unless you can be empathetic or compassionate towards where somebody else is coming from, you're not going to be able to make a difference in their world.
Exactly. Definitely. And that is extremely important. I mean, you need to make a difference with yourself first. And then, you know, you need to take the steps for yourself first. But there is an old saying, whatever you want to learn, teach it. And so there's something that you really want to, like if you want to work on yourself, yes, you take the steps to work on yourself, but then what you start to learn, you share. And as your learning, you know, increases, the more you share it, the more you learn, the more it's like this great cycle of energy that continues to go through you and goes to other people. So when you're helping other people, you're helping yourself. But you have to make sure that you take the steps for yourself first.
You're
right. Because if you don't, then you're just drowning with other people.
You just brought up something, and on the note of sharing, there's a class that I'm in over the course of the next year with Landmark Education, which I love and adore, and they've offered me many, many great insights. And I always find that when I share an insight, it helps ingrain it in me even further. And one of the inquiries that they told us to look into in our own lives is, where do we allow other people to contribute to us? And where don't we allow people to contribute to us? And where do we allow ourselves to contribute to others, and where don't we? And say, for example, with politics or whatever it might be, say you have a strong feeling one way or another about a political candidate. If you, say, didn't like Donald Trump and you were having a conversation, say you and I were in a great spiritual discussion, and then one of us mentioned that we were a big Trump fanatic and the other person wasn't, it was a Hillary supporter, then that actually might stifle your ability to listen to me or be contributed to by me. Or even just for our listeners today, some people may have tuned in, quite honestly, and they might have heard the word psychic and said, oh, I don't know if I could be contributed to by a psychic, or even by me, by Jennifer, because she's a woman or because of whatever. And so it's really fascinating to look at, as human beings, where do we allow ourselves to be contributed to or to contribute to others, and where do we get stopped? It's a really fascinating inquiry.
Oh, absolutely. And that's the thing, that, you know, some people take words, like you were saying, words are so very important, right? So they take a word, and if it has any sort of stigma or negative connotation to the person, they'll turn you off. Completely.
And you shut them down. You stop listening to them. Like, we've all had that happen, where you might be at a great dinner party, or even in business, especially in business, if somebody doesn't agree with your viewpoint or says something that you deem as personally inappropriate to you, then you would shut down that person's communication and decide to no longer be interacting with that person. And that could really hurt you in many ways, not just personally, but professionally.
Oh, I agree. And that's the thing. If you just took a few more minutes and said, well, you know, I know that this for some reason this is triggering me, and that we talk about triggers actually in the book, and about, you know, how something, maybe a word or maybe an action of somebody else, is triggering another reaction. And you had said it so beautifully about I can't remember, it was about colors, and I can't remember exactly how it was, but you know, your experience is viewed by other people, you know, or you view what they say according to your experiences, your filters. Remember,
yes,
we were talking about filters?
Oh, yes, I knew, yes, it would come. Yeah, your filters is, we listen to people through filters, and we can't even hear what they say because it's like wah, 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 sometimes, depending on the filter that we're choosing, or even at a subconscious level, the filter that we're putting on somebody that allows us not to connect with them.
Yeah, and so the filters and the triggers are the same thing. But when you really start to look at what is it that is making me not want to listen to this person, and we look internally, we could probably resolve that and actually gain so much from listening to somebody else and somebody else's perspective.
Oh, Shannon, you are amazing. I could just talk to you for hours and hours. We're clearly going to have to need to have you on the show again, because, again, I feel like we've barely scratched the surface of so many topics that you and I wanted to cover today. But because you are just so talented, and let me leave our guests with one thing about you that just rocked my world several years ago. If we've ever had there, if you are thinking of using Shannon for business, she's phenomenal. I call her with all sorts of business decisions and, you know, conundrums that I'm faced with. But also on the personal side, I will say that sometimes we have very emotional things that can happen. A person dies, somebody hurts our feelings, whatever it could be. And one of the most profound things I remember that you did, and I don't remember if this is theta or not, is that you moved a negative emotion I had energetically from one side of my brain to the other. And for those of you out there, I was a skeptic. I'm like, yeah, right, Shannon. And I trust and I believe you about a lot of things, but you being able to move this negative emotion from one side of my brain to the other, yeah, right. And so I'll never forget, you asked me, you said, well, Jen, how do you feel about now? And I was vehement. I was like, pissed off. Die, I hate this person, and da 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 da, and just all the vehemence you could imagine. And then you said, okay, I need 5 minutes. I just need you to sit there and just be present. And so I did. And then at the end of 5 minutes, you're like, how do you feel now? And it was almost like I'd lost that anger and that emotion. I was like, It's gone. Wait, where'd it go? Shannon, what did you do with it? And to this day, it still hasn't resurfaced. So I cannot recommend Shannon enough, you guys, to anybody out there who needs a spiritual advisor, needs question answers. She's helped with loved ones. I mean, anything you could imagine. Shannon, please tell our listeners where they can find you, where they can read up on you. I want to make sure everybody has access to all of the wonderful energy that you share.
Well, thank you for that, too. You can reach me at shannonleichner.com, which is www.shannonleichner.com. I'm also on Facebook, Shannon Leichner. And I have an Instagram, because everybody wants an Instagram. It's Psychic for Stars. I also have a Twitter, @Psychic for Stars. And so you could find me just about anywhere. If you want to email me, shannonleichner@yahoo.com. So I am very accessible, and I await everyone. Yeah, lots of fun.
She's wonderful. She does theta healing training. She does manifestation trainings. And I have no doubt in my mind I wouldn't be where I'm at today without some of the amazing, you know, advice and spiritual coaching you've given me throughout the years. So I'm definitely looking forward to having you on the show again. Next week, tune in. We're going to be doing our special mock interview Mondays for the end of the month. And a friend of mine, very dear person who I've known for many years, is going to be joining us and getting some coaching on her career for myself, as well as possibly another career coach. And you can find us, just a reminder, on iTunes at Get Yourself the Job. And otherwise, tune in every Monday live here at LA Talk Radio at 4 p.m. And thank you so much, Shannon, for being a guest on the show today.
Thank you for having me. It was wonderful.
All right. Look forward to doing it again.
All right. Thanks.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.